Well, it feels weird to be up here, I have to say that. I'll tell you a funny story. I just told Dr. Luke, and he was up here cracking up before we started. I remember the first day that I got here on campus, and my mom and my sister were here to help me move into the dorms, and I met two students first. I met Josiah Crow and Samuel Littlefield. Those are the first two people I ever met on campus. And I kid you not, this is a true story. My mom looked at me and she said, "It's not too late. Are you sure you want to come to school here?" And she was being dead serious. Anybody that knows my mom knows she was being serious. So that was my introduction to Ambassador. But I am glad I came. It's been an interesting 4 years. It's amazing just to see how God's changed me over 4 years. And I was reflecting a bit last night and just being a little emotional about, you know, the lessons that God's taught me over the last 4 years. And this morning, I kind of want to share with you a message that I wish had gripped my heart sooner than it did, really. So if you would, go ahead and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 this morning. When you're a kid, you don't really understand why your parents make you do the things that they make you do. Like, I never really understood why my parents made me drink medicine that tasted like 100-year-old popsicles, or why they made me start riding a bike with training wheels, or, you know, why they wouldn't let me play with pocket knives that I liked, or why they wouldn't let me get close to the fire, just different things like that. You don't understand why they aren't letting you do those things as a kid, but as you grow up, you understand that they had your best interest in mind whenever they were protecting you from those things. And so this morning, I want to preach to you a message about how to trust God with your life's best interest. In John chapter 11, I'm going to read a large portion of this scripture and then go back and we'll examine it. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and..." Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Verse 17, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come, and he calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were in her house, the Jews then which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Wow. If you would, pray with me. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the power in it. God, I pray that the words that are spoken this morning would honor you, Lord, and that would speak to the hearts and lives, that we can become more like you in your image. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to preach to you a message this morning I've entitled, "For the Glory of God." I've got a simple outline this morning. First, we've got a problem. Then we've got the seemingly failed plan. And we've got the solution. It's a rather simple message, but let's look at the problem. Verses 1 and 2. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. The problem is pretty clearly laid out here, and I promise you my other points aren't as short as this one, but the problem is Lazarus is sick, and he's in desperate need of help. So let's look at the plan of these sisters. Since Martha and Mary are mentioned several times in Scripture, it's important to understand their personalities when reading this. Verse 3 says, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick." It's important to understand that Martha and Mary really did love their brother. I have a sister myself, and I love her very much, but it wasn't always sunshine and rainbows growing up. She's a twin, and so it's just the two of us. And so when you grow up with just two siblings, or just, you know, one other person, and they're always the same age, always at the same level, doing everything at the same time, and she's slightly better than you, it can be kind of annoying. So, siblings are different, right? Mary and Martha, they're different. There's no doubt that they love their brother, but they have different perspectives on life. As you read this passage and others, you can always kind of see that Martha was more of a doer. She always kind of seemed like a perfectionist, a person that always had a place for everything, always had a plan, someone who might, you know, be a little disgruntled when they are missing something because they never lose anything. I find myself like that a lot. I hardly ever lose anything because I always have a place for everything. And if you have a place for everything, it's hard to lose anything because it's always in its place. But the downside to this type of personality is that when things are out of place, sometimes it's overwhelming and you just can't handle it. Now Mary, on the other hand, she's kind of known to be the opposite. Go to Luke chapter 10, if you would, with me. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It's funny how the morning you speak, the devil makes you lose your chapstick. I tell you, it's crazy. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, Martha." Thank you for the five people that got that. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." See, Mary just kind of dropped everything that she was doing and sat at Jesus' feet. She knew who he was. She knew his character. And she knew that she wanted to listen to what he had to say. I mean, her and Martha were probably in the house frantically getting a meal together or, you know, getting things together to serve Jesus, that they have a visitor at the house. And she just kind of dropped everything. But look at Jesus' response. Look back in John chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Speaking of the Lazarus being sick. Jesus basically told those sisters that went out of town to meet him. They loved their brother so much, they went out of town, found Jesus, the only one that they knew could heal their brother, and they went out of their way, and Jesus basically told them, "I know he's sick. I know he's sick." Sometimes it's hard for us to understand the way God speaks to us. But he basically says, "I know he's sick." And I can imagine Martha, being somewhat of a perfectionist, was probably thinking like, "Okay, well, if you know he's sick, why don't we just go back to Bethany and you can heal him and we can have another meal together and we can fellowship and everything can be hunky-dory." But that's not what happened, is it? Jesus doesn't go the same day. Look at verse 6. "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Jesus knew that Lazarus needed help. He knew that Mary and Martha were hurting because their brother was sick. He knew that he was the only hope for their situation. And better yet, verse 5 tells us Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's pretty important when you find a verse in Scripture that says, "God loves this person." Because sure, there's plenty of verses in Scripture that tell us that he loves all of us, all of his children. But there's very few that say, "Jesus loves Martha, Mary, and Lazarus." So just to have a verse in Scripture that specifically says God loves this person, that makes them pretty important. So why wait? Why did Jesus wait the 2 days? Because he already told them, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Look down in verse 20. Excuse me, verse 17. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." Verse 20, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house." I can just imagine, well, I really can't imagine what Martha was feeling, but I can see her in her perfectionist mind thinking, "We went and we found Jesus, we told him our problem, and he didn't come." This isn't consistent with Jesus' character. She's starting to doubt God. She's starting to wonder why he's doing what he's doing. And so she's so concerned that she goes out and meets Jesus right there. Now, mind you, Scripture tells us that Lazarus had died 4 days ago. And many of you know that when you lose a loved one or you lose someone close to you in your family, it can be mixed emotions going through your mind. It could cause you to say things that you don't necessarily mean. It could cause you to, you know, be angry. It could cause you to be extremely sad, all of the above. So she went out with all these emotions probably in her mind, and she met Jesus, and she met him before as she was coming into town. And verse 21 says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Wow. She confronted Jesus pretty firmly, huh? In verses 20 and 21, you can really see her personality start to come out again. At this point, she was really saddened. She's upset. She's probably somewhat angry. She's doubtful of Jesus. She literally went out of her way as he was coming into town so she could confront him about this. Now remember, Mary and Martha, they're both experiencing the same grief of the loss of their brother. And they both have these mixed emotions. But Martha was saying, Jesus, why didn't you come? I told you my struggles. I told you what was happening to my brother, and you didn't come. Why? See, Martha had it all planned out. Her and Mary would go find Jesus. They would tell him of their struggles, of their problem. He would come fix it, and they would be united together again. But that's not what happened. And because that's not what happened, Martha can't seem to handle it. She can't accept the fact that Jesus didn't do what she thought he would do. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think she was being outright disrespectful, but I think she was frustrated and experiencing grief. Jesus tries to tell her that Lazarus will live again. Look at verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha just responds by saying, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She was saying, Lord, I know he will eventually live. He'll be resurrected again, but you've got to understand, why didn't you? And Jesus just kind of stops her right there in her tracks. Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He gave her a firm reminder of who he was and that she can trust him. And in turn, she did. Look at verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, Mary had already seemed like the more tender of the two sisters from looking at Luke chapter 10. But she had a completely different confrontation with Jesus. Look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. See, Mary and Martha, they said the exact same words, but with a completely different demeanor, with a completely different motive and attitude. Mary already knew Jesus' character. She knew that she could trust him, and she never lost sight of that. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. See, Mary's compassion and Mary's submissiveness to Jesus and his character, and knowing that his plan was best, caused Jesus to weep himself. He knew the hurt that he had caused. He knew that he was doing what he was doing the whole time. He knew that this plan was best, even though Lazarus had to die. So what's the solution to all this? Look at verse 34. It said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. I read that verse again, and every time I read that, this is probably one of the most mind-blowing passages when I think about Jesus being fully God and fully man. Because how could I even fathom that God himself would weep over a mortal man? Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Some of the Jews started to doubt why Jesus didn't heal Lazarus. They couldn't see the goodness of God in something like this. How could all these people that were hurt and confused and grieved, they just didn't understand. Look at verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Jesus was very patient with Martha. Back in verse 4, he had already told her and Mary, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jesus was finally about to show him what he meant by that. Keep reading in verse 41. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.' And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" See, nobody had a clue that this was what was going to happen. And I find it really interesting when you read this passage. It's like nobody ever stopped to think that if Jesus had the power to heal Lazarus, that he could also raise him from the dead. Because it doesn't seem like anybody even, that doesn't even cross anyone's mind through this whole passage. But how did God get the glory from this? Verse 45, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." Jesus knew the entire time that there would be souls saved through Lazarus' death. Look, I'm here to tell you today that throughout my college experience, I have gone through a lot of things that I would not have chosen for myself. Even before college, my whole life, I would have never chosen what I had to go through or what family situation I got put in or, you know, different circumstances. And it's easy to compare myself to someone else. But I have to remind myself that God's plan is higher than mine. Because though I would not have chosen any of those things, God knew that he would get the glory, the best, from the situation that he put me in and the life that he chose for me. And it's the same way with all of us here today. You may have had things in your life that have happened. You may have lost a loved one. You may be struggling to pay your school bill. And you're starting to doubt God. But I'm here to tell you, don't doubt him. Because his plan for you is greater than you will ever imagine. See, Martha lost sight of Jesus' character. Martha lost sight of who he was. And he had a reminder of that. Mary was submitted, and sometimes we have no idea how God is working or what his intentions are. But can I encourage you? God sees you. God feels your hurt. God knows your best interest, and God is working behind the scenes even when you can't see it. See, Mary and Martha got what they desired, but it just wasn't how they wanted it. And Martha couldn't handle the fact that Jesus didn't do what she thought he would do. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Let's pray.